Thank you, Miss Abby. Tonight, before our Bible study, we have a missionary that's come through, and she's going to present, and I'm going to let her tell you all about it. Let's make sure we have everything ready for her video. Miss Ashley Barnes, if you'll come this way, do you want to say something before the video, or do you want them to show it now? All right, let's go ahead and show the video now.
Every day is full of seconds, the first breath of life, the last farewell of a loved one, unexpected news, a choice made, or simply an ordinary moment. 1 second can change your life forever. The Lord gives us 86,400 of these moments in one day, but how are you using each moment? My name is Ashley Barnes. I had the amazing opportunity to grow up in a pastor's home. I had the privilege to be a part of all kinds of ministries, spend time with so many missionaries, and even hear all about the different mission fields my dad had the opportunity to visit. But it wasn't until college when the Lord truly began to open up my eyes and burden my heart for missions. I had the unforgettable opportunity to study abroad for a semester when I was in college. During this time, I lived a little glimpse of the life of a missionary. Through spending time and building relationships with the people in the country, the Lord deeply burdened my heart for the need these people had for a Savior. I returned from my semester abroad willing and ready to serve once I graduated from college, but the Lord had other plans for me. Over the last 8 years, the Lord has allowed me to faithfully serve Him in many ways in my local church and as a teacher in the elementary classroom. Through these many ministry opportunities, it is so humbling to look back and see how the Lord has used this time to prepare me for this next chapter. Throughout each year, I was specifically praying about what the Lord would have me to do as the desire of missions work only continued to grow. I was a willing vessel, ready to be sent wherever the Lord desired, just like Isaiah was in Isaiah 6:8. Here am I, send me. In the summer of 2023, I had the opportunity to return to the United Kingdom and assist the missionaries that are already there. It was through this time and much prayer that the Lord made it very clear to me He had opened the door for me to go back to the United Kingdom to serve Him in any way He desired. The United Kingdom is such a gorgeous country set on islands just west of most of Europe. Known for their reigning monarchs and the beautiful Buckingham Palace, to the monstrous Big Ben, to the busy streets packed with red double-decker buses, to the breathtaking countrysides, this beautiful country is also packed full of amazing history, especially of our Christian heritage. Sadly, this country is focused on academic excellence, politics, and cultural influence. This once strong Christian country has turned its back and forgotten all the Lord has done in and through the people of the past. People daily walk the streets over many places that martyrs willingly gave their lives, or past church buildings that was once full of people faithfully serving their Creator. Sadly, the country has grown cold and stagnant towards the things of the Lord. But this is not the end. The Lord has already sent missionaries over who are faithfully serving Him. Sent by Franklin Road Baptist Church and partnering with the Crown Christian Heritage Trust, I will be joining these missionaries in the United Kingdom and assisting them in children's ministries, teen rallies, camps, Bible studies, teaching English classes, school outreach, and so many other ways. Would you be willing to partner with me financially, but even more importantly in prayer? As the Lord tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 20, we must be redeeming the time because our moments on this earth are so few. There are so many lost souls that still need to hear. Let's not waste another moment.
My name is Ashley, as you just saw in the video. Thank you all for having me here. It's warm, which is, I just came from up north, and when I left up north, they had 13 inches of snow, so I'm very thankful to see grass. So, but also I will try to talk slower, because I just came from up north, and they told me I talk too slow, so now I have to remember that I need to talk a little slower, because I'm back down in the south. So, I will do my best, but as you saw, I grew up as a pastor's kid. I was surrounded in the ministry before I was born, and I was in it all the time. Some of my dad's dearest friends were missionaries. Their children were my friends, so I heard all kinds of things about missions work. I got to see the things that they did differently than we did. But growing up in that, never once did I ever consider the possibility of being a missionary. That was something I never thought of. That wasn't even slightly in my mind. Probably by the time I was 14 or 15, I had my whole life planned out. I wanted to go into the medical field in some way or some form. And I told the Lord the one thing I would never do was teach, because I didn't like that. So the Lord had many other plans, and he thought that it was funny that I told him no. So by God's grace, somehow he led me to Crown College, because that was not my original plan. I didn't apply for college until about 3 weeks before college started. So everything that happened was definitely by God's grace. He led me to Crown College, and while I was there, as you saw pictures, I got to go over to England and study abroad for a semester. We still had classes like college, but we also would go off each weekend to help a missionary. And I'm not gonna lie, going over there, I wasn't necessarily going over there for the spiritual aspect of it. I was definitely going over because I wanted the pictures too, and I thought it would be so cool to come back with all these pictures. But what I didn't realize is what God was gonna do with my heart and life while I was over there. And the Lord really began to grip my heart for people. Especially of a country that is full of our heritage of Christianity. Many things of what we know about Christianity and it coming over there from that part of the world. And as I stood there in the streets, and in Oxford especially, I saw so many markers of people from the past that were Christians that stood up for Christ and did things, and some of them willingly gave their lives. I stood there and looked at all those things amazed, but then I realized that this part of the world, they're walking on those things. They're walking past those plaques. And most of them don't even know, or they don't care. The things of Christianity are not important in the world today. Sadly, in the U.S., it's kind of the same way as well. God has been kind of forgotten. And the Lord really gripped my heart while I was over there. He allowed me to do things I'm very much an introverted person. I'm not one that loves to be up in front of people. It's not something I'm comfortable with, but the Lord really began to burden my heart for these things. And as you saw in the video, I really wanted to go over after college. But the Lord saw fit to put me in the classroom. And for the last 8 years, I've actually been teaching everything from kindergarten all the way up to third grade. And through that, the Lord taught me so much. He's really burdened my heart not only for the lost, but for the children that are lost, because that's a generation that needs to know about Christ. And sadly, the generation the parents of these children don't know about Christ, and they're not telling them what the great news of God, what God's done for them. So I carry this around, and it's really funny. This works great with children. I could bring this in a room, and children will freeze because they want to touch it. But it actually kind of works the same with adults. And I walk by, they all want to just touch it and pet it. It's really great. This thing is wonderful. But I carry this with me, especially when I'm with the children, because I love to tell them stories. If you know anything about the Queen Elizabeth, she loved her corgis. Most of the time she had around 5 of them, and they would go with her literally everywhere. If you look in it, you can see them getting on the planes with her. You can see them trotting behind her as she's going through different places. The only place they were not allowed was in her bedroom because they snored. But they literally went everywhere with her. And as I thought about it, the kids think it's great because they tell me all the things that they think the Queen would have done with the dogs. But as I think about it, those dogs are spoiled beyond our imagination. I can only imagine maybe they were fed by a servant's hand each day. I don't know. I can imagine. But then I think about it, and these dogs were so spoiled and loved. But then I think about it, moving away from the cute and funny aspect of it, the Queen loved her dogs very much, but how much more Christ loves us. And we can sit and talk about how cute the dogs are and how much the Queen loved them, but how much more Christ loves each of us, how much he gave up his son for each of us. And going to a different part of the world, sometimes it's hard to remember that God loves them too. Sometimes they're very unlovely. Sometimes they're unlovable because of we just think of what they've done and what they're doing. But there are people that Christ willingly gave up his life for, and it's our job to tell them. So my prayer is that going over to the UK, that the Lord will use me greatly. As you saw, I'll be participating in many things. The ministry over there has, the Lord has opened so many doors, so many opportunities for us to be able to tell the people in the UK about Christ. But one thing I'm really praying about is that the Lord would open up doors for us to go into some of the schools, especially the younger schools of the younger ones, to be able to tell them about Christ. There's been a couple doors that have opened over there in the smaller villages and towns. But my prayer is that we can get into some of the bigger ones as well. And that we can even have 15 minutes a week just to be able to sit down with them and tell them about Christ. So that's one of my great prayers as I go over there. But my prayer is that the Lord would use my life and the missionaries that are over there to reach this lost generation for Christ. I know we watch the news a lot. And as I travel around, many people look at me and they tell me, wow, the UK is a very dark place. That's a scary place to go. It may seem that way. It is dark. People watch things, but the Lord is moving over there. I could sit and tell story after story about the individuals that the Lord has gotten a hold of. Yes, the people over there are hard. It takes a long time to break through that barrier to be able to tell them about Christ. Very, very few of them come simply because the Lord, right at that moment, is opening up their heart for it. It takes a while. And I could go into story after story, but my favorite story was when I went back from in the UK in 2023. I was helping in one of the Sunday schools in one of the pictures, and I heard a name be asked to call it up because he was going to do the sword drills with the kids. And I heard the name, and I was like, man, I know that name. Why do I know that name? And I'm sitting back there, and I see this kid standing in front of me. I think he was 18 at the time. And he gets up and he starts leading, and I'm like, man, he looks so familiar. And then as I'm sitting there, it clicks in my mind. He was one of the little Sunday school boys when I was over there as a student. He was a little stinker. He didn't like to listen, but he came by himself. His family didn't come with him. He came, we went to his door, we picked him up, and we walked him to church. He came to Sunday school. And it's just seeing from where he was, I think he was maybe 8 or 10 when I was there as a student. And then I come back, I think 9 years later, and there he was. He's the one standing in front. He's the one encouraging the kids to come back to church. He's the one instructing them. He's the one showing, look how great God is. And it's just encouraging to see, because sometimes it's hard to remember that God is at work. God is truly doing something, not just in the UK, but in the world, here in America as well. God is at work. And our time is so short, and we need to not waste the time that we have and tell those around us about Christ. I always leave with this verse. I actually picked this verse as a student to go over there, and I thought it sounded cool. So I put it on my paper for all the prayer letters I sent out to, as I earned the money to go over there. But as I was over there, and as I've grown in the years since then, this verse has really become something that I really truly pray the Lord makes true in my heart. It is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. My prayer is that we can all give our life to serve Christ. And as you pray for me, first of all, pray for that the door would be open for us to get into some of the schools over there. I'm reaching the end of deputation. I'm a little over 90% now. So I'm just praying that the Lord helps me raise that last little bit. And my goal is to be over there before June of this year. So if you could just pray with me about that. I'm finishing up. I have a few more meetings in Florida over the rest of this month, and then a couple a little bit farther up north. But if you just pray for me that the Lord would provide everything and keep me safe while I'm on the roads, I'd be very, very grateful for it. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Ms. Barnes. Take your Bibles tonight and go to Hebrews chapter 11. I appreciate her being able to stop in, and I just want to mention this. I don't know how you think about it, but sometimes there's a lot of folks that will not support a missionary who is single and going to help others. And again, missions is going around the world, going everywhere, preaching the gospel. She's going to be connected to a local church. And I think about how many people in our ministry don't get to be the pastor, don't get to be in the pulpit on Sunday, but every Sunday the only person they know is a sweet lady in our church who teaches their Sunday school class, tells them that she loves them. And many mission fields, each missionary has a wife, and she's working and helping, but how much more work could be done if somebody would come alongside of them? Now, I guarantee you, We got a bunch of single college guys. We got some single staff guys here too. But I think for most of us, we had to understand that, you know, the work of God here is done by so many different people that make up the local church. And every bus route, you know, the people that have changed my lives, I can give you a ton of names of my preacher and others, but there are several ladies that loved me when I was very young and encouraged me in the Lord. And I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for those people investing in my life, for those ladies that encouraged me when I need it most. And so again, I will say this, you know, go by the table. One of the things she needs more than anything is you to take that prayer card and pray for her. But as a church, she needs some folks to help her get over and get that get to that last little bit to be able to get to the field and get to the work that God's called her to do. Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, we've been studying this, and we've just got a few minutes left, but I want to give you, we left off, if you remember, and it wasn't so long ago. It was just a little while ago that we studied this, and we were together, and we studied about how Abraham was reckoning or had a right mindset in verse 19. In verse 19, it says, "In accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped," look at this, "leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones." Now, I want to be able to pick up the next time we gather together when we get to Moses. And so we need to cover over Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we'll add one more tonight, Joseph, because we already touched on Abraham. But really, the context of the chapter is dealing with how each one of these men believed God. It really builds in context from Abraham, who reckoned in a right way that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, talking about his son Isaac. And then it passes on to Isaac. He says, from whence also he received him in a figure. And he goes on and says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Now, if you were to go back, we could go to Genesis chapter 27, and we could look at the blessing of Isaac upon Jacob and Esau. It wasn't the most pleasant experience. There was trickery involved, and Jacob faked his dad out, Esau being the oldest and should get the blessings passed on to him. And he comes in and he kind of tricks his father, thinking he's the oldest, and he gets the blessing. But if you want to understand what the context is, it isn't about all the difference in the story and who did what, but that God, his men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the way to Joseph, believed God and reckoned right that God was able to do what God said he could do, and that was to fulfill all the promises that he gave to Abraham. And they weren't just to Abraham, but they were to Abraham and Abraham's seed. And so Abraham, the reason God chose him is because he was going to be able to order the generations of his children after him to believe the promises. Now, I want you to take this, and I don't want you to be upset with me tonight, but we need parents that believe God and take him at his word, and they believe so much it is imprinted into their children. More is caught than is taught, and you can say one thing and do another by the way of what you believe, way you act, what you invest in. Now, when children, again, they get older, they will choose, even if they've seen a faithful mom and dad, they will choose to do what they choose to do is right, or what they, again, sometimes the things of this world call to them, and they run to the world. And it doesn't mean mom and dad weren't faithful, but I'm just telling you, Abraham came to the place. Did he have somebody that followed close after him, that chose the world and went the way of the world and had to be snatched out of Sodom and Gomorrah in Lot? an adopted son, if you want to call it that, who followed him and God blessed because of his relationship with Abraham. Yeah. So even in Abraham's life, we can see there was somebody that was close to him that he invested in. But God said, I watched him. Listen, Isaac saw his dad pull the knife up. Isaac heard the voice of God. He heard his dad by faith when they climbed the mountain say, God will provide himself a lamb. And that his dad, when they climbed that hill, made no provision in the flesh for a lamb. He made no provision because before they climbed that mountain, his dad had made provision for the flesh and had Ishmael. And Abraham decided, I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to account him right. If God is able to raise him up from my seed and Sarah's seed who were dead, we shouldn't be able to have kids, then God can raise up him if I plunge this knife. If that's what God wants to do to prove to Isaac and to me that he's God, I'll do what God wants me to do. And he raised that knife up in the air, willing to plunge it into the chest of his son because he counted God worthy of his honor and his, listen, sacrifice, even if it cost him the thing that was most dear to him. Because he knew that the future of God's plan was in Isaac. Wouldn't it be something if we impressed upon our children that God's plan for the future is them? That this thing that God gave us doesn't continue without them. And that it is the greatest heritage. Can I just tell you what God left Abraham ain't nothing compared to what he gave his church. They're going to go through the time of Jacob's trouble. They get land. Who wants a piece of land that everybody else wants? We got heaven. We got all the things that we are going to inherit when we cross the swelling tide and that we walk into heaven. All the riches of heaven have been given to us freely from his book. He's keeping us from a time of Jacob's troubles and snatching us out. I'm just telling you, if you think the Jews got it better than you as a church, you got another thing coming. The Jews didn't live through the grace age. They lived under the law. If they didn't do it right, God said, kill them, stone them. You get grace. When you do wrong, instead of taking you out and bricking you down in the street, what do? We sit you down and go, you're an idiot. God loves you. I love you. Do right. Do right. Do right until the stars fall. Do right. Because one day they're going to get it through their thick skull that they had to wade through the blood of Jesus Christ to go sin, to do what they did, to break God's heart again, that they not only dishonored themselves, but they dishonored their Creator. They dishonored heaven. They dishonored their church. They dishonored their pastor. They dishonored everybody. And one day all of those things will click. When they're mature enough to hear it. When they're mature enough to see it. But I'm going to tell you what a blessing it is when they get to see it and it imprints on them. Listen, Isaac believed God. Isaac didn't do everything right. Isaac did some of the, he pulled some of the tricks Abraham did. Acting like she was his sister. And they, listen, at least Abraham was telling a half-truth. Isaac wasn't. He was lying, flat out lying. But listen, what you teach your kids is going to stick. Because he pulled some of Abraham's trick, but also what was imprinted inside of him was that God was able. God was faithful. And Isaac, even though his sons didn't do the blessings of God right, one of them tricked the other one, Isaac believed and it imprinted on Jacob. And even Jacob, by the way, it stuck with him because I want you to turn your Bibles. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 48, if you would, tonight, 47, 48. And I want you to see, I got to hit the high points for time's sake tonight. But one of the blessings is when he comes in there and you have Jacob getting ready, he is at the end of his life. It talks about him bending down and holding himself up on the bed, the headboard of the bed. here in the passage it talks about him, and it's just referencing. By the way, Hebrews is referencing him halting as a cripple because he had a meeting with Almighty God, and God said that he would, listen, he wouldn't let God, listen, the blessing that Jacob got was the same blessing that Abraham and Isaac received by really having a meeting with Almighty God. The same thing that happened when they were up there on that mount and Dad was holding the knife and Isaac was looking like, am I going to die right now? And God stops it and has mercy, and there's a ram caught in a thicket that neither one of them saw until that moment. Jacob had the same thing as he slept at Bethel. And he wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long. And he would not let him go until the morning. And listen, he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the angel of the Lord said, oh yeah? And he reached down and he touched him in his thigh. And Jacob was never the same again. It put pain in a place for him that he halted on his thigh for the rest of his life. Listen, I'm going to tell you, sometimes, I mean, when you press through to really meet with God and to hold on until God blesses you, you may not want that. Jacob hung on until God blessed him, but it showed up in his flesh for the rest of his life. Now, the sad part is some of us are just like him. We got to hit a brick wall and God has to knock us down, mark us for the rest of our lives in our flesh so that we can really get a clue and listen to what God wants us to do. Jacob comes to this place and now he's in Genesis chapter 48. I hope you're there. I'm trying to get there. I had it marked, so I'm going to be faster than you were. In 48, I want you to see here, he comes to a place where he says some things. Look in verse number 5. He's going to bless the two sons of Joseph. And I can't read it, but I pray that you'd read this. This is so powerful when you get to look at this, because Jacob can't half see. Joseph lines up the two boys so that the oldest is going to be on his father's right hand. And when they get there, the Bible says wittingly or knowing what he was doing, Jacob does this and puts his hand and puts his right hand on the youngest. Because guess who Jacob was? The younger. And he blesses the younger, not just because the older gets the blessing, but because he deserved the blessing in this case. He knew these boys. But he talks about this, and Jacob has a place, but I want you to see some of the things that bring you to the case. He says, and now in verse 5, and now the two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Reuben and Simeon are the oldest sons, and he gives Joseph's two sons equal measure to the two oldest sons in his family. He tells him that they're not yours. From now on, they will no longer be looked at as Joseph's sons. They will be looked at as sons of Jacob. And that's why from this point on in the scripture, all the way through the book of Revelation, they're going to line up as sons of Jacob. And there is going to be 13 now because he takes the 12 sons and he adds 2 and lets Joseph have a double portion through his sons of his inheritance. Knowing full well that he needed 13 because 12 are going to wander around and a 13th tribe in Levi is going to be the priestly tribe. But when they get to Revelation, the one that is false worshiping tribe of Dan is cast out and you're back to 12. Jacob, walking with God, knowing God's will and his work, not knowing everything God wanted to do, was obedient to God's command, gives a double portion. Now, I don't want to read everything that's here, but I think it is worthy of this, and I want to see you, because everything we're talking about is by faith. Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob. Look at verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life unto this day. Now, I know I'm in a little bit of overtime, but I'm having a good time, and so I hope you are too. Can I just say it tonight? Listen, the person that has gotten most of you, you should recognize that Joseph is the one that got most of the credit for feeding his daddy for all of these late years of his life. But Jacob doesn't give credit to Joseph. He gives credit for the feeding to Almighty God. Because guess who Joseph gave the credit to? Almighty God. He said, God, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He wanted to feed my daddy. And if what it took was for me to go through the pit and the prison to get to the palace so that God's people could be preserved and eat, then I will do the will of God in my life. Many of us don't realize all the time that Jacob all the way through doesn't give the credit to Joseph, but that God's hand was in all of it and restored to him Joseph. And when he gets Joseph back, he says, I want you to have a double portion because of what you went through with your brothers. By the way, the two that were the hardest in that thing, Reuben and Simeon, the ones that should have stood up and not let it happen, should have been the ones. And listen, he gives them equal portion. He comes down and he says in the next verse, and this is where the, it gets the woo good right here in Bible, all right? In verse 16, the angel, that is capitalized, not because it's a little angel, but because it is Jesus. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. Now, I don't know if that sounds like salvation to you, but that will preach. That's Bible salvation for Jacob. He says, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. And he ain't talking about the angel Moron. He's talking about Jesus. He's not talking about Moroni and everybody else. He's not talking about Gabriel or somebody else. This angel here is Jesus, which redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads and let my name. He doesn't just ask for God the Father to bless, but the angel that touched my thigh and made me halt and blessed me and brought me to this place and has fed me every day of my life. You and your father bless these lads. Do you know what none of the other boys get? They don't get this blessing. And listen, if you want to know by faith how it goes all the way through, it's marked down in the Hall of Fame. For the church, the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. He's reminding the Jews that, listen, this angel blessed them. He says, let my name be named on them. Listen, Jacob had authority to do it, but he had to go to a higher power for it actually to be enacted and to carry it out in Jesus's revelation. It ain't John's revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when the end of all things, all of you college students, eschatology, all right, the end of all things at the end of the book, he asked the one who had all power, which was given to him upon heaven and in earth, to bestow on these two boys. They were Joseph's sons, but I want the one that redeemed me to make these two boys in the eyes of Almighty God, make them my sons. And God grants this prayer. Can I tell you, this is a blessing for a Jew. This is a blessing like nobody else could equal. This is a blessing that none of the other fathers had ever given to a son. And Jacob, listen, Jacob knows and gives this to Joseph. He comes to the place where he says, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. I want you to turn with me. You turn with me to chapter 50. I'm going to give you a couple more verses so we don't have to come back here. I want to read to the verse in Hebrews again. Hebrews and Joseph, he talks about Joseph here. In verse number 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. I want to tell you, listen, I want you to be in chapter 50, but I'm going to read you the last couple verses of 48. If you want to turn back, you can look at it in verse 21. And Israel said to Joseph, this is at the end of his blessing, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow. So he not only gave him a double portion in his son in name, but he gave them double the portion of land for those two. Now, if it was going to come down to law and the Old Testament law and everybody else, they would have tried to split the land that was Joseph's between them two boys. But Jacob orders not only them to be his sons, but for them to get equal portion with all the other sons in the land of promise. And he tells them that God shall be with you and bring you again into the land. That's the last thing that Joseph hears from his father before he goes home, that God's going to take you out of Egypt. He's taking you back to the land. And I bless your two sons so that you can have a double portion, not only in my blessings, in my name, but in the land. Genesis chapter 50. Joseph is dying. He's going home to be with the Lord. He gathers the people of Israel. Before we get to the book of Exodus in verse 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into a land which he sware to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel. Now listen, I don't know if you understand that, but he said, you promised me this day. This is the last thing I'm asking of all of you. Y'all would be dead if it wasn't for me. And I'm going home to be with the Lord. But don't you leave my bones here. There's a land that is fairer than day. In his heart and mind, he said, it's a place my daddy gave me. You can take half my bones and bury it in this boy's yard. You can take the other half and bury them in the other boy's yard. Or bury me right on the breaking line between the two of them. But you take me home. You don't leave me here. You take me back to where I'm supposed to be. Because he had, by faith, he believed God and said, listen, there's going to come a day that God will visit his people and that you're going to go back. Don't you leave me here. Listen, Jacob didn't trust him. He made him take him back to begin with. He said, I don't know if you boy, he knew his sons. I'm not sure if y'all take me back. Take me now. Bury me with Rachel. Joseph said, when God visits you and he takes you out of this place, I want you to by faith, I know that God's going to do it. Look at what he says in verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Now, you may not think that's a big deal, but by faith, Joseph, when he's dying, he believed God and took him at his word because it was passed on to him. One of the last things his dad said was, God is faithful. And what God said he's going to do, he ain't going to leave us down here. He's going to take us back. Do you know, throughout the Old Testament, it's always been believing God. And even people who were Bible believers throughout really the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, before 1948, all those men were studying and saying, the book says that God's people are going home. And they wrote it just like it was going to happen. I tell the college students, read after people who aren't alive anymore. You know why? Because you'll learn some things. You'll realize that hadn't even happened yet, but they were Bible believers and just believed God and took him at his word. That's somebody you know you can trust. When they just took God at his word and wrote like the people were already going back there, according to the scripture. God help us to be people. Listen, you know why we preach Jesus is coming again? Because that's the promise to the church. We're not looking for a piece of land. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world. And we've got a different home. We don't look for a city made with man's hands. Hey, listen, we look for a city made by God. Mansions over the hilltop, according to the song, right? But mansions on the other side. We look for Jesus to come again and snatch us out. But just like our missionary mentioned to us earlier, from every small child that can believe to the oldest person that needs to hear it again and give an opportunity to hear the cause of Christ. Listen, Sunday's coming. Ladies, tomorrow's coming for visitation. Saturday's coming for your bus route. People need to hear about Jesus. They need to see in your life and through your speech that you believe that Jesus is coming again. I say it over and over again. I preached it this weekend. I stood up like the Apostle Paul did, and I just told people what God did for me. And I said, if he can do that for me, he can do that for you. You know what'll change your kid's life? Letting God do a work in you, because they know it's not in you to do, but that God working in you will change you, and they'll say, God is real. If they can do that with my daddy, can I tell you who I am? I watched my daddy change from a drinking, smoking, lost man to a saved man that God cleaned up and put in his work, made a deacon of our local church. And you think, well, what you know, your dad was a bad guy like that? Yeah, And so were some of you. That's what the book says. Before you got saved and God changed you from the inside out, wouldn't it be great if our church on a regular basis saw somebody get saved that wasn't all cleaned up and watch what God can do in their heart and their soul and change them into His likeness? Why do we expect people to walk in all polished up on the outside? That's not what happened in the Bible. That's what's not happened in our past, and it won't happen in our present. We need to go out and win the lost to Christ and let God work in them. They become His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Today, listen, I want to encourage you. By faith, serve God this week. By faith, read your Bible. By faith, pray in front of your kids. By faith, raise your family in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Because listen, He's able. Account God able to do above all that you could ever ask or think. And one day, He'll call us home, and we'll stand before Him. It'd be good that we believed God and took Him at His word. Abraham's not sorry he did. Isaac's not sorry that he by faith trusted God. Jacob, there's not a sorry bone in his body that he trusted God and that the angel of God redeemed him from all evil. Now, if you're here tonight, listen, just like Jacob, you could be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same angel, isn't it angelic that He came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid for your sin debt? He was an angel when He appeared to Jacob. But for you and I, the scripture says that He robed Himself in mortal flesh. Because the angel don't got blood, but man does. And He be put on flesh, God, in an incarnated body, and laid His life down. Because it takes blood to pay for the sins of the world. And He made a blood atonement for our sins, and the one that saved Him saved me. Saved Pastor Carter, saved everyone who will put their faith and trust and believe on Him. Tonight I pray, if you're here and you need Jesus, you need Him to save you, then come tonight. Let us take a Bible and let you trust in Him. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian and man, you just haven't been believing that God is able, maybe you need to put your faith and trust back in Him again and say, God is able to help me raise my family. God is able to help me do what I don't think is possible. He can help you with that tonight if you trust Him and ask Him to. Would you stand to your feet? The musicians are going to come, but don't wait for them tonight. If God spoke to you, step out, do business with God. If you're here and you're lost, you don't know Christ as Savior, you've never been saved, would you meet me in the front? Let me take a Bible and show you how to be saved tonight. The invitation tonight is to you. We invite you to step out, do business with God. This altar is a place where God alters folks. He can alter you from being on your way to hell and on the way to heaven because of what Jesus did for you on Calvary. Would you step out and come tonight? Brother Bert's going to sing. Would you step out and meet me in the front? We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved.